I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, I'm not sure there's a better confession that we can make than the words we just sang, declaring our need for you. And Lord, we can speak those words because we have faith, and we have a deep belief, Lord, that now, as in always, you are here through the power and ministry of your Holy Spirit, meeting us here in this space. And even in the depths of our hearts, Lord, you come and you join us and you meet us and you meet our needs. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. And we ask that especially in these coming minutes, as we spend some time meditating upon your word and the promises contained within it, that you, Holy Spirit, would especially soften our hearts to hear your voice. And we do pray, Jesus, that it is your voice who speaks. Open our hearts and our minds to welcome you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we did last week, I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Just in case you weren't here or you didn't read it in the newsletter, we're going to be spending several weeks over the weeks and months to come dwelling upon, learning about, and seeking to live out the words contained in Psalm 23. And I would commend to you, if you've not already memorized this beautiful psalm, that you would work on doing that so that these words will especially be treasured in your heart and you can call upon them in times of need. And to move us in that direction, I'm going to invite you to read with me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today begins the Ashland County Fair. And if you have any question about that, you can come spend the evening at our home or Miss Jenny's home, who lives right down the street from us. And you too can hear and feel the tractor pull that I believe will be happening tonight. And I have to admit that I'm just thankful. I thought it started yesterday, and we had family in town. I was envisioning us trying to watch the Buckeyes last night while the tractor pull was going on. I'm thinking this is the last time they're coming to our house on game night. But fortunately, it starts today. Now, some of you may be well-versed in the world of the county fair. I happen to grow up in an area where the county fair was a pretty big deal, and so I joined 4-H when I was pretty young, and I kind of eased my way in. I took rocketry and outdoor cooking and gardening and things like that, and then finally convinced my parents that I wanted to raise animals, and we lived at a place where we could start doing that. And so I raised goats for several years and showed goats at the fair. Didn't feel real manly about that, so by the time I got into junior high, I started raising and showing hogs. And then as I progressed in my years and in my self-confidence around animals, I actually took steer for a couple years and raised a couple steer and learned how to show them as well. Now, the first time that Mandy went to the county fair with me, she felt like she stepped into a whole nother world. So I understand, for those of you that have not been around this experience, that the thought that you can show a hog in and of itself probably is kind of a crazy idea for some of you. But I want you to know that there's two different kinds of shows at the county fair. There's one show where you take your animal into the arena, and the judge is judging the animal based on the animal and how it's been raised and bred for its specific purpose. So if a hog is bred and raised to go to the market, they judge it on the quality of market hog that they see in the arena. So that's one type of show. But there's a whole other category of shows where they're judging the individual that's showing the animal based on how well they can do that. And so, you know, when I was a little kid, I would be dragging my goat around the arena and acting like I knew how to show this animal so that the judge can judge the animal. But in the showmanship shows, they're judging you as an individual. Now, there's a lot of variables that go into this, and you need an animal that's able to cooperate with you in order to show it well. And at the county fair, it's not always the case, because of all the variables there, that you may have an animal that shows really well at your home, but when it gets in that context, it's like a wild animal. And so, especially with hogs, they'd open the bin. Sometimes those hogs just start sprinting around the arena, you know, in circles, and the person's kind of like, I don't know what to do here, you know. But more times than not, you can usually tell which kids have spent a lot of time working and preparing their animals. And enough time that they've established a relationship, and I would even say a bond with those animals. Now, I can't tell you that I ever necessarily fit into this category of showman. But I'll give you a little example. A friend of mine who won the Grand Champion Showman multiple years, especially when he would show his hogs. I remember one year when we were in high school, in the final show, in the final competition, it was he and a couple other people. They took away his cane, used a cane or a whip, okay? Now, it sounds harsh, but you just kind of gently tap. If you've worked with your hog, you can just kind of tap them on the shoulder, and they know what you want them to do. They took those away from them, and he had them maneuver his hog through a set of chairs without touching it, without a cane, without a whip, and he was able to do it by talking to it, by using his hands. That's an individual who's worked with that animal for hour upon hour and built a relationship and a bond with that animal. Now, what in the world does that have to do with Psalm 23, right? The county fair and Psalm 23. Well, I think it gives us just a little bit of a glimpse and a little bit of an analogy into what David is talking about when he speaks this first line of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Because when David, who was himself a shepherd, begins the psalm in this way, he must have an idea in his mind of what it means to be a shepherd. Because he himself was a shepherd. And so I'm going to read some select verses from 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. And this is kind of in scripture when David comes on the scene. As a young man, as a boy, really. So in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, when all of this is unfolding, and I would commend you to read these chapters on your own time, but Samuel says to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains the youngest, but he, who is David, is keeping the sheep." So the first we hear of David, he already is given this identity. There is the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. Verse 19 of the same chapter. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse, David's dad, father, and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." Again, so we hear David's name, and again, attached to his name and identity, he's with the sheep. A chapter later, chapter 17, verse 15, this is after David's beginning to serve. It says, "But David went back and forth from Saul," why? "To feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem." And again, a few verses later, "David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him." So the first several times we hear of David, we hear of David as one who is with the sheep, shepherding, caring for them, to the point where in verse 20, when he does leave, it makes note that he didn't just leave the sheep there on their own. He placed a keeper with the sheep so that they would be taken care of. This begins to give us a glimpse of a shepherd who has a deep care for and relationship with his sheep. Scripture's emphasizing this relationship in these early verses. The care, the concern, the protection, the need to be with them. Now, you, like I, might ask the question, well, why is that so important? Why is it so important that David was always with these sheep? Well, I'm going to read you a paragraph from this book, The Lord is My Shepherd, by Robert Morgan. It says, a sheep is the one animal that is utterly clueless and helpless without a human being nearby. A flock of sheep without a shepherd is a pathetic sight. You never hear of sheep migrating along in great flocks, fending for themselves, or surviving without external protection. They panic at the slightest sound. They have no sense of direction. They have little native intelligence and no way to defend themselves. They can butt a little with their heads, but they're bulky, bungling, and without defensive equipment. They can't fight with their hooves or teeth. They can't run away very easily or dig holes or climb trees. They can't track down their own food. They can get lost even in their own pasture. Their wool, which becomes thick and matted and tangled, if not regularly sheared, can weigh them down or trap them in thorns. Insects bedevil them, and they don't recover well from disease and injury unless treated individually. Sheep also need affection, and there's something about them that seems to crave human care. They are utterly dependent upon a shepherd. Now, you may think, wait a minute. That's some pretty negative talk about sheep. And you may be a lover of sheep, and you may have a hard time hearing, especially the words, this was one animal that's utterly clueless. But I'm going to show you a short little video that I think will prove my point. Bill, if you could just play this video. First of all, a little disclaimer. If you find that at all disturbing, Laura Travis sent it to me. So you can blame Laura, which was interesting because when she heard I was preaching on Psalm 23, she's like, oh, he's got to see this. And at first I was like, a little too birthlike for me. But then I thought, what a better image and example of how clueless sheep really are. Now, I pulled the sound off because it's in a foreign language and you can't understand it anyway. But one of the videos I watched had some subtitles. These guys were just walking through this prairie and they heard some weird sounds and they kind of stopped and they find this hole and all of a sudden they realize there's an animal that's climbed down in this hole. And they start reaching down, and the next thing they know, they find this full-grown sheep that's climbed down into a hole and is stuck down there. That seems a bit utterly clueless to me. Now, I'm going to continue with some of these words. Sheep are the most helpless creatures on earth. Dogs can run in packs, hunt for food, find their ways when lost, and defend themselves when attacked. Cats of all sizes are stubborn, solitary creatures with minds of their own. They prowl and pounce. Horses, though capable of domestication and harnessing, are noble in wild herds thundering across the plains. Even cattle can roam on the wild prairie. Rabbits, birds, reptiles, fish, and monkeys can be found in pet stores, but are happiest in the wild. The forests and jungles of the world are full of wildlife requiring no human care. These animals require no specialized care by a shepherd, but we're not like them. We're not like them. We are sheep. And by understanding the shepherd's role in our lives, we better comprehend our own makeup and our own upkeep. That utterly clueless animal is how Scripture describes us. Time and time again. Utterly clueless without a shepherd. And so when David begins a psalm saying, "The Lord is my shepherd," do you understand what David is confessing in that statement? Because if the Lord is David's shepherd, what does that make David? A sheep. And in this simple phrase that we've heard time and time again, understand that David himself, a shepherd, is confessing to the Lord, "Lord, without you, I am utterly clueless, just like the sheep that I care for." When we make that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," we make the same confession. Now, we might like to kind of focus on the Lord and the shepherd part. But understand that the Lord is only our shepherd if we understand our need as utterly clueless sheep for the care of the shepherd. Isaiah 53:6, a verse that we know well. "All we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have all turned away to our own way." All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. We find little holes and we crawl into them and we realize, "Oh my, I'm stuck. Who's going to pull me out?" Jesus said when he saw the crowds, this is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has compassion on the people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like the song we just sang a few moments ago, "Lord, I need you. Because I am utterly clueless without you shepherding me." Now, I want to come back to the shepherd David, to this narrative in 1 Samuel 16 and 17, because I want to keep building on this picture of what David has in his mind when he says, "Lord, you are a shepherd to me in the way I am a shepherd to my sheep." And this comes from 1 Samuel 17, verses 33 through 37. And understand the context here. This is where Goliath is harassing the Israelites, and they're looking for someone who's brave enough to face Goliath. And David's like, "Hey, I'll do it." And they're like, Saul says to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father." It's like, "Saul, don't forget, I was a shepherd. And whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and I struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the Lord, of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." And we know the end of that story. And if we don't, go read it because it's pretty phenomenal. David is saying in these verses, "This is what I did as a shepherd. When a bear came and took one of my sheep, I went after that bear and I rescued that sheep from its jaws. And if that bear turned on me, I struck it down. Oh, and the lion, When the lion would take one of my sheep, I didn't say, oh, darn, we lost one. That's my sheep. And I went after that lion, and I rescued it from the paws of the lion. And if that lion turned on me, you know what? I struck it down because it was messing with one of my sheep. That's the picture of the shepherd that David has in mind. And so when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, understand what he's saying. The Lord will save me. The Lord will rescue me. Because what's true of the shepherd? What's true of the shepherd is the shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. Why? Because the sheep belong to him. The sheep belong to the shepherd. In Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he talks about this sense of the sheep belonging to him as a shepherd. He says, first, they belong to me because they're mine. And he says, I belong to the Lord simply because he has deliberately chosen me. Chosen to create me is the object of his own affection. We as sheep belong to our shepherd because the shepherd deliberately chose to create us. We have inherent value as human beings because we've been created by God in the image of God. And so the shepherd cares for us. We belong to the shepherd. And the sheep were bought with a price. Keller talks about how it was his own sweat and blood and body and hard work and saving up money that finally got to the point where, as a shepherd, he could go and purchase his own sheep. And he said, when I paid for those sheep, it was as if I was giving my body for them because of the work that I had done to earn this money to buy them and because of the ongoing, lifelong care that I knew I would be giving them as the shepherd of this flock. And so he says, I belong to God because God has bought me at the incredible price of his own life laid down for me. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity, the sin of us all. You see, what's true of our Lord as our shepherd is that our Lord has laid down his life for us. When left to ourselves, we will, like this clueless sheep, climb into every little hole we see, hoping that we're going to find something at the bottom that's going to satisfy our heart's desires. And before we know it, we are trapped in a hole surrounded by sin and mud and darkness. But listen to these words from Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of that slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Who would have thought that silly video becomes a picture of how Jesus comes and rescues us? Pulls us out of the slimy pit and sets our feet upon the rock so that we can stand. You see, left to ourselves, we will wander. We will find ourselves in the jaws of lions, in the jaws of bears. And all the ways that Satan uses life's temptations and life's trials to try to trap us, to get us in that grip, to try to suck the life out of us. Because Jesus tells us that Satan comes to steal and to kill and destroy through the lions and the bears of life. And yet Jesus says, but I've come to give you life and life in the fullest. Because I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you hear the good news in this verse? The Lord is my shepherd. We went to great lengths last week to talk about what it means that it's the Lord, that it's Yahweh, Almighty, the one who is lacking nothing, creator of all. It's that Lord who David is saying is the shepherd who protects us and cares for us and rescues us and saves us and even goes to the extent of offering his son for us. To protect us, to provide for us, to care for us, and not just that, but to pursue us. And to pursue us even when we feel unworthy of being pursued. This is Luke 15, the first of three parables that we know well. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus. Let me read that again. By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus. These were the people that were looked down upon in society. And they were listening intently. And the Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled, "He takes in sinners and eats meals with them. He treats them like old friends." And their grumbling triggered this story. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and you lost one. Wouldn't you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the lost one until you found it? That's an interesting question, isn't it? I'm not sure I would. If I had 100 sheep and one was lost, I'm not sure I would leave 99 and go looking for it. Especially if I lived in a context where there were bears and lions that may have taken that sheep. I'm like, well, chalk that up for loss. Write that off on the taxes. Guess I have 99 sheep now. That's not like Jesus. That's not like the Good Shepherd. Just assuming there will be a pursuit for this lost lamb. And then when found, it doesn't say if found, it says when found. You can be sure you would put it across your shoulders, rejoicing, and when you got home, calling your friends and neighbors, saying, "Celebrate with me, I found my lost sheep." Count on it, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people in no need of rescue. The Lord pursues us. The good shepherd pursues the lost sheep. This is because of the bond, of the love, the sacrificial love that the shepherd has for the sheep. A love for you and me that's greater than we could ever imagine. A love that is for us and with us, whether we're in the flock or whether we've perhaps wandered off for a bit. Or according to Luke 15, whether or not we're just flat out lost. Whether or not you're a person who the eyes of the world looks upon and says, not much hope for them. The shepherd loves you. Or whether or not you're a person who looks in the mirror and can't stand the eyes that are looking back at you and struggles to say, "You know what, I'm worthy, Lord. I'm worthy of your love." The shepherd pursues you and will pursue you with a love that's unimaginable. Because the love of the Lord is waiting, is hoping, and is pursuing your heart. The Lord is my shepherd. It means so much to David when he makes that statement. He can make it because of the intimate relationship he has formed with Yahweh, the God of all things, the one who is and always will be. Because in the midst of David's crazy, sometimes ugly, and messy life that's filled with, yes, some joys, but also tremendous trials and suffering, in the midst of all of that, David has a heart for God, and you know what? God has a greater heart for David. And God will not let him go. And David knows it. In the same way, he would never let one of his sheep go. And so he says, the Lord Yahweh is my shepherd. He will not let me go. I wonder if each of us this morning can proclaim that truth. Is the Lord your shepherd? You see, we have an advantage that history, much of Scripture, the people didn't have. We can look back upon the life of Jesus Christ, the Lord who proclaimed to be the great shepherd who would come and lay down his life for the sheep. And the promise that Christ gives to us is that I will be your shepherd. The Lord will be your shepherd. Allow me to receive you into my flock where I will care for you and protect you and be with you in all things. And that offer and invitation has been made to all of us in Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite Laura to come up. I don't know when it was, sometime in the last couple years. I was somewhere and she was doing music like she does, and she started playing this song, and I think it, maybe we've even played it together some. But it just, it ministered to me in a special way. And I know that the Lord wants to minister to you in a special way. Perhaps through this song, perhaps through prayer, perhaps through just a sitting in this moment, perhaps in even more profound and deep ways. And so there's going to be some times here in the next few minutes where I lead us in some prayers and even offer you opportunities to respond. But in this moment, I just invite you to quiet your heart. And first ask yourself this question, is the Lord my shepherd? Everything that I've heard that means right now, is the Lord the shepherd of my life? Have I given over control to the great I am? And if not, that invitation's waiting for you today. Simply can respond, Lord, be my shepherd. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Receive me into your flock under your care. And if the Lord is your shepherd, if you have started that relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ, allow yourself to meditate on all of the promises that are true in this simple phrase that God, Yahweh, is your shepherd who cares for you with a love that you would never imagine and will not let you go. Let's just take a few moments to receive.
The Lord is my shepherd. I will fear no evil. Shepherd, I will fear no evil.
If you'd be willing to just take one little step of faith with me this morning. And I have a sense that the Lord just wants us as a congregation to minister to one another for just a few moments and in a very simple, non-threatening way. And so as we just kind of bow our heads in prayer and we just allow this promise to ring over us, if you're a person that just feels like you need a special touch of God's presence with you this morning, I would just invite you with our heads bowed to just simply raise your hand where you're seated and as you're seated. And all I'm going to do is invite the folks that are sitting beside you and around you to just lay their hand upon your shoulder so that you can just feel a physical touch of the Lord's presence on your life. And if you just have that sense of someone around you, just go ahead and just reach out and lay your hand upon a person around you. But I want to pray into this a little bit, and I just, if that's you in this moment, just look to the people around you and invite them to do that. Is present among us, through us. We are the body of Christ to one another. In fact, Christ comes as the shepherd of the people and then calls upon us to be one another's shepherd. And so it's a beautiful picture, biblical picture, when we come around one another and be the Lord's presence in each other's lives. And so receive God's love. Receive the care, the mercy, the love, the grace of the shepherd. Holy Spirit, come. You're present. You're here. Holy Spirit, raise our awareness of all the ways that you desire to touch upon our hearts in this moment and in this time. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you reach into the depths of each of our hearts, into those places that we know exist but are sometimes even too painful to step to. Those places where we know that only you can be the one to minister. And we say, Holy Spirit, come. Allow yourself to receive the love of the Great Shepherd. If any of you are questioning whether or not the Lord is with you, or whether or not you've said the right things, or prayed the right prayers, or made the right commitments to allow Jesus to come into your life, I want you to know that that's a simple yes, Jesus, come. It doesn't have to be more fancy than that, because the Lord knows your heart. David had a heart for God, and if you have a heart for God, the Lord wants to meet you. And so if you're at a place at any stage of your faith and you just need to say, yes, Jesus, come, just pray that prayer. Yes, Jesus, come. Yes, Jesus, come. Share one more image with you. This comes from John Eldridge's book, The Sacred Romance. He talks about the progression that the Bible gives us of the way that the Lord wants to be with us. And early in Scripture, it talks about the clay and the potter. It progresses to the sheep and the shepherd. And hopefully this morning we have a much deeper sense of what that truly means. Such an intimate, beautiful picture. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus comes and begins his teaching, and it talks about how we are servants to our master. Give our hearts to the Lord. And then it progresses and talks about how we're actually children to Abba Father. That we've been adopted into the kingdom of God, into God's family as children. You know what? It doesn't even stop there. Because Jesus says, you'll no longer call me servants, but friends. Do you know that? Jesus simply desires to be a friend to us. It's pretty amazing, but you know what? Scripture doesn't even stop there. Because then Christ says, you know what? It's like the bride and the bridegroom. That's what this relationship is meant to be like. A bride and a bridegroom, where there's this incredible intimacy that's there for us to receive, as Jesus is the lover of our souls. This sweet intimacy that we're invited to receive in our relationship from the Lord. And I know it's weird for us to talk like that, but let me tell you something, we all need it. We all need it. And we simply need to quiet ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, come. Give us a touch. Give us a touch of that love in our lives. This is good. This is church. It's good. I'm going to ask Laura to just sing through this chorus one last time, and then we'll move into the remainder of our worship. Allow yourself to continue to receive from the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd. I will fear no evil. You are my shepherd. I will fear no evil.
Lord, continue to meet us in this place. Continue to minister to your people. For you are the shepherd and we are your sheep. And you love us more than we could ever imagine. And Lord, we realize it's audacious for us to believe in the midst of this life when it can be so challenging that there's reason why we could praise your name and have glory and give you glory and even have a joy in our heart in the midst of the sorrow. And yet, Lord, because you are present and you are with us, we can do that. And we can gather here and we can praise your holy name in the midst of all of life's struggles. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you for your promises. We thank you, Jesus, that you have come to give us life and life in the fullest. As you've met us in this space, Lord, continue to minister to us. Continue to go with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.